We're here in Bava Kama, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. On the bottom of Daf Vav Amud Beis, Rabbi Akiva, who says that be idis b'meitav shel mazik, says kal v'chomer lehegdish. And the Gemara vacillates back and forth. What does it mean kal v'chomer lehegdish? Is it a case of nezikin, where the shor of a hedjot attacks the shor of Hegdesh? In that case, the Gemara says that there is no chiyuv nezikin. So it's not possible to say that the gizbar representing Hegdesh would collect for this nezek from idis, because there is no collection whatsoever. Shor reyehu amar achmanu v'lo shor shel Hegdesh. Ela, the Gemara says, a person consecrated, he dedicated a certain sum of money for Bedek HaBayis, and now the Gizbar comes to collect that chov, and the halacha is that the Gizbar has a right to collect that chov from the person who took the neder, the nedava, from idis, from the best of all karkos. So the Gemara says, this doesn't make any sense. Lo yehei ela Balchov, the person who promises, pledges to give money to Hegdesh, is no different than anyone who owns a chov. And the gizbar representing Hegdesh is the Balchov who comes to collect the chov. Well, what's the din in general if a person, a hedjot, Reuven, lends money to Shimon? Reuven is the Balchov, Shimon is the Love. And if Shimon can't pay with Kesef, then Reuven the Balchov collects from Karka. There's a Shibud on the Karka. Which Karka does he collect from? So the Gemara says here on the top of Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, Balchov Beinonis. A Balchov collects from the middle level Karka. And that's based on a Sugya in Gittin, on Daf Mem Chesamid Beis, that the Torah was machmir in Nezikin to allow the Nizak to collect from the Mazik's Idis, but that's not true for Balchov in general. The Achronim, and it really dates back even to the Rishonim, are bothered by this Gemara, because the halacha is, according to that Sugin Gittin, on Daf Memtes, the Gemara establishes that Minator Balchov collects from Ziburis, from the lowest level. But in order to encourage people to lend money, that's Kadesh Lo Tinol Delis Bifnei Lovin in the Lashon HaShas, a Balchov is allowed to collect from a better quality. Now here, in our sugi, we're dealing with the Din Torah. We're dealing with the Din Doraisa. And we're trying to figure out how to interpret the word Meitav, and how it applies to a Chov to Hegdesh. Why does the Gemara insist on a Dindar Rabbanon that jacks up the status, the collection rights of the Balchov, in this case the Gizbar on behalf of Hegdesh, to that of Beinonis? The Gemara should have quoted the Halacha of Ziburis. And the Rashba suggests that the Gemara wanted to point out that even midrabanan, the best in all scenarios, is after we jack up the rights of the gizbar, the balchov, is to collect from Beinonis, but not beyond Beinonis. So how can you tell me that the gizbar will collect from idis? And the Gemara says that this possible pshat in Rabbi Akiva, that just like a nizak collects from the mazik, from idis, so too the hegdesh, the gizbar, collects from the noder, from idis, is absolutely untenable. Although one could argue ostensibly that hegdesh is more chomer than hedjot, and therefore it's possible that one could have said logically that the payment of this neder, this pledge for Hegdesh, should be mina idios. In other words, this halacha that Balchov is Gove Bebeninis, that's only a regular Balchov. But maybe the Torah was more Machmir and gave Hegdesh more extensive rights to collect from Idis. But the Mefarshim say that Midin Torah, as we said before, the Balchov only collects from Ziburis. The Rabbanon gave an elevated status, a Yipui Koach, to the Malveh, to the Balchov, to allow him to collect from Beninis, Kadesh Lotinol Delsnei Lovin, and Hegdesh, where this whole Svar of Lotinol Delsnei Lovin is totally inapplicable, the Gizbar would really be collecting from Ziburis. And if you want to give a Yipui call to Hegdesh because of the Chumra of Hegdesh, then jack it up from Ziburis to Beninis, but not from Beninis, or shall we say from Ziburis all the way up to Idis. The Chitam of the Gemara says, Sov Rabbi Akiva, Kol Balchov Nami, Be'idis. Perhaps Rabbi Akiva holds that a Balchov can collect from Idis, which is not the assumption of the Sugya in Gittin, but rather that if the Balchov collects from the Karka of the Lover, Rabbi Akiva is of the impression that we should derive from a Kal Vachomer that Hegdesh could collect from Idis. If Hedjot, a Balchov, a Malva, could collect from the Lovah's Kark of Idis, if that's Rabbi Akiva's position, then how much more so can the Gizbar collect from Idis? The Gemara says, Ikol Mifrach. You want to say that the power and the rights of Gizbar for Hegdesh are greater and supersede that of a Balchov, a regular Balchov Dialma, a Hedjot, with this Kal Vachomer? He says, no, I have a Pircha on that Kal Vachomer. Mala Balchov, Shekein Yofe, Kocho, Binezokin. Balchov really is granted greater powers. He collects from Nizokin, meaning he could be Tover the Mazik to pay, whereas in the case of Hegdesh, Tomer beHegdesh, Ahura Kocho Binizokin, the Hegdesh doesn't have that power to collect, to sue for damages, and that's why if someone who's Mazik Hegdesh, he's Potter from Tashlumin, and that was the sugi that we learned here on Daf Vav Amid Beis, Shareyu Velo Sharshal Hegdesh. And the Mefarsh and the Achronim point out that the basis for Rabbi Akiva's Shita, if he has indeed such a Shita, as the Gemara suggested here before the Pircha, that a Balchov could collect from Idis, is the Parsha of Nezikin. Because when Reuven's ox, let's say, gores and causes damage to Shimon, then Reuven, as the Mazik, becomes a Balchov, he owes a Chov to compensate Shimon for damages, and the Torah says that Shimon, collecting this Chov, has the right to collect from Idis, and that should become paradigmic of all Balei Chov, that they can collect from Idis, and therefore Rabbi Akiva derives from the case of Nezikin that a Balchov Hedjot can collect from Idis. And if that be the case, that's only on a Deraisa level, but Rabbi Akiva would have to be Mode on a Derabonan level, that they lowered the power of the Balchov Hedjot by one notch, and he can only collect from Beninis. Why did the Rabbanan take the Dindo Rice of Idis and reduce and lower the power of the Balchov to only collect, limit him to Beninis? And the answer is, as the Pnei Yeshua points out, that Rabbi Akiva doesn't deny that the Chacham were worried about the fact that if someone sees Kaka of Idis in the possession of his friend, of Reuven, he might go ahead and deliberately set up a situation where he could collect from this Idis. He's going to lend him money in such a way that he'll be able to collect that Chov. So therefore the Rabbanon made a takana to reduce the collection rights of the Balchov from Idis down to Beninis. In any event, we're back to square one, back to the to the drawing board to try to figure out now exactly what Rabbi Akiva meant when he said Kal v'chomer lehekdesh. And now the Gemara is going to introduce the sheet of Rav Shimon ben Menasya. Liolam, says Gemara, de Nogach Torah didan leTorah deHegdesh. We go back to Nizkei Hegdesh. If we, the Hedgeot, was Mazik Hegdesh, Hutukar Kashalach, but you have a drasha that we mentioned earlier, Shor Eirom Rachmanov Lo Shoshal Hegdesh, to alleviate any responsibility of damages, paying damages to Hegdesh. Rabbi Akiva Sarale, Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya that if our shor gores and damages the shor of Hegdesh, there's going to be payment. Hegdesh can collect. And not only that, it's going to be even a right to collect that supersedes the right of Hedjot. Kedisanya, we learned in the Braisa, Rav Shimon Asya Omer, Shor Shal Hegdesh, Shenogach Shor Shal Hedjot Potter, Shor Shal Hedjot, Shenogach Shor Shal Hegdesh, Bein Tam, Bein Muad, Meshalem, Nezek Sholem. Now this sugya of Rav Shimon Asya is later on in Daf Lamed Zayin Amid Beis, and the Gemara there analyzes how Rav Shimon Asya came to his conclusion that the distinction between Shor Tam, who pays Chatzi Nezek in a damage, and Shor Muad, who pays Nezek Shalem, does not apply to the case where the Nizak was Hegdesh. If it was a Shor Shal Hegdesh that was damaged by a Shor Shal Hedyot, even on the first three Negichos, the payment is Nezek Shalem. And again, as I said before, the Gemara there is going to delve into the reasoning, how Rav Shimon ben Asya came to this conclusion. So if a Shor of Hegdesh is Mazik, then we, Hedyotos, cannot claim and be Mechayev damages. That's the Shor Re'eu V'lo Shel Hegdesh. We're talking not about the damagee, but about the damager. That's the exclusion of Hegdesh. Meaning the Mazik, not the Nizak. So if the Nizak was Hegdesh, then Adarabba, there's even greater rights that are given to the Nizak, in this case Hegdesh, to collect, even on the first three Negichos, to collect Nezek Sholem. So it comes out that the Machlokas now between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva that we spent so much time on in the previous year on Daf Vav boils down to the issue of Hegdesh. What's the status of a Shor Shel Hedyot that damages a Shor Shel Hegdesh? And according to Rabbi Yishmael, the Hegdesh has no recognized status to collect damages if they suffered such. And according to Rabbi Akiva, embracing the Shita of Shimon ben Asya, on the contrary, Adarabba, the Hegdesh has rights to collect damages that supersede the normal rights and regulations of Nezikin d'Alma. If that's the Machlokas Hachi, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva, Mimai debeidis de Nizak, viziburis de Mazik pligi. We were thinking until now that the Machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, revolves around the scenario in which the Karka Idis of the Mazik is equal in value to the Ziburis of the Nizak. And the question is, when the Nizak collects, when he demands compensation from the Karka of the Mazik, does he have rights to collect the Idis of the Mazik, which is Rabbi Akiva's Shita, or is he limited to collect his own Idis, whatever the highest level of quality level of his karkos is, which is called the Idis of the Nizak, that's equivalent to the Ziburis of the Mazik, Dilma? Now the Gemara is putting that all on the side. Kuli Alma, everyone agrees, but in Nizak Shaiminon, because as we said earlier, in the previous Shia, that's the Pashte Dekra. No, I'm sorry, just the opposite. That's the Gzeira Shava, not the Pashti, the Kra. And if you recall, Rabbi Yishmael, invoked a Gzeirah Shavah to prove that Bidin Nizak Shaiminon, and therefore being very lenient on the Mazik in this particular scenario, allowing the Mazik to pay Ziburis the Nizak, Velhacha, but rather, if everybody, both Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, agree to this point, that Nizak Shaiminon, then what is the Machlokas? The Plukta, the Rabbi Shimon, Bemenasi, Rabbonika, Mifuki, the whole Machlokas boils down to the case of Sharshal Hejot, Shehizik Sharshal Hegdesh, Rabbi Kiva, Savakam, Shimon, Bemenasi, and therefore the Hejot, the Mazik, has to pay damages to Hegdesh, and Rabbi Shmuel, Savak, Rabbonon, who are of the opinion that Mazik Hegdesh is Patur. Now please notice that as far as Nizkei Hegdesh is concerned, there's no doubt that Rabbi Shmuel argues on Rabbi Akiva and holds that Mazik Hegdesh is Patur because he doesn't mention a word about Hegdesh. Why didn't he go into the discussion of Rabbi Akiva about Idris from Hegdesh, or Beninis of Hegdesh, do we treat him as a Balchov, as Nezikin? No, there is no Chiv whatsoever with regard to collecting for Hegdesh, or Hegdesh collecting damages. And you can see it also in the words of Rabbi Shmuel that he patters a Mazik Hegdesh, because in Hegdesh, it's not really shy to say that we evaluate according to the karkos of the Nizak, because Hegdesh really owns karka all over the place. You know, you can't tell me what is the idis of the Nizak. And therefore the whole concept of the Rabbi Shmuel, the idis shall Nizak Shaiminan, is inapplicable to Hegdesh. So the Gemara says that, you know what? You cannot reduce the machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, to this machlokas about Mazik Hegdesh with the Yechayev or Yepoter. And the Gemara invokes three proofs to that. Number one, Imkain, my lo bar kosev. Rabbi Akiva says lo bar kosev, which sounds like he's talking to Rabbi Shmuel, and he's telling him that what you said, Rabbi Shmuel, is incorrect. That the pasuk Meitav Sadeu, the way you interpret it, is incorrect. Now, everybody agrees that Meitav Sadehu refers to Nizkei Hezek, to Nizkei Hejot. And you just established that there's no machlokes with regard to Nizkei Hejot. And even Rabbi Akiva accepts the position of Rabbi Shmuel, Bidin Nizak Shaiminon. If that be the case, why is Rabbi Akiva chepering with Lobar Kosuv? Forget about this Kosuv. They should be debating a different pasuk, Shariyehu. V'od, and furthermore, my kal v'chomer lehegdesh. What does Rabbi Akiva mean by kal v'chomer here? Rabbi Akiva agrees to Rabbi Shmuel that we should be evaluating the compensation for Hezek with the idis of the Nizak. In other words, we're going to be light and easygoing on the Mazik, instead of the Mazik paying from idis, meaning the Mazik's idis, he's going to pay from his Ziburis. Now you're going to tell me a Kalvachom to Hegdesh, that just like we were Mekil in Hejot, we're going to be Mekil in Hegdesh? That doesn't make any sense. If anything, we should be Machmir in Hegdesh. Because if Rabbi Akiva, as you have it, adopts the Shita of Shimba Menasya, it means the Torah had Gvaldiga Achumra in Hegdesh, that even on the first three negichos, the owner of the shor, of the hedgehog that owns the shor, Amazik, is chayiv to pay nezek sholem. So what kind of kalvachomer is it? That just like you were mekil on the mazik in the case of classical nezikin, so too you'll be mekil on the mazik in the case of hegdesh? Just the opposite. We're more machmir in hegdesh. The ode in the third proof is from a statement of Ravashi. Ha omar Ravashi, Tanya, Beheja, we have an explicit brisa that says Meitav Sadehu, Meitav Karmo Yishalim, Meitav Sadehu Shanizak, Meitav Karmo Shanizak, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, Omer, Meitav Sadehu Shal Mazik, Meitav Karmo Shal Mazik. Here we have a brisa that's very outspoken, The machlok shin of Yishmael and Rabbi Kiva revolves around whose meitav it is. Do we evaluate the hezek and the payment thereof based on the karka of the nizak as Rabbi Yishmael sees it? And meitav sadehu means shel nizak. Or we should evaluate the hezek and the payment thereof by the karkos of the mazik. That's how Rabbi Akiva would have it. Meitav karmo shel mazik. Which, if you recall, Rabbi Akiva claims is the pashtus dekra. So bottom line is, there's an explicit record in the Braisa that the machlokes between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva is not limited to the discussion about mazik hegdesh, but rather arguing about tashlume mazik hedjot, if the mazik was a hedjot and the nizak was a hedjot, how do we evaluate meitav? What did the Torah have in mind? Meitav of the Mazik, Rabbi Akiva, and Meitav of the Nizak, as Rabbi Shmuel would have it. So there's no way, no how, after all these three proofs, that you can present an interpretation of the Machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, as if they argue about Shar, Hejot, Shenogach, Shal Hegdesh, period, and that's the whole, that exhausts the whole subject of the Machlokas. Ramile Abaye LaRava. Abaye asks Rava the following kasha. Ksiv. It says with regard to Tashlumi Nezikin, Meitav Sadeu, Meitav Karma Yishalim. Meitav In, Midiachrini Lo. That the Mazik has to pay Meitav, implying that there's no other means of payment other than Meitav. Vasanya, but we have a Braisa. And we'll read the pasuk that the Brisa is darshaning. Baal abor yishalim kesef yashiv lebaalav. The word yashiv is superfluous. It's extra in this pasuk. It could have just as well said, as Rashi explains it here, Baal abor yishalim kesef lebaalav. What's yashiv? Yashiv is giving the mazik, in this case the Baal abor, extra rights and a more liberal, a broader scope method of payment, lirabos shove kesef. Now, shove kesef in general is not called idis, but it says here in the price of afilu subin. Subin is the parts of the wheat that we don't eat, maybe the bran, and that's certainly dover garua. Again, I don't know how much of a volume of bran he's going to have to sell him. Maybe a whole, you know, a whole carton full of bran cereal. I don't know. But in any event, the Brisa goes on record as saying that the word yashiv indicates that the mazik doesn't have to pay meitav. He's paying subin. Now, the Pasuk Meitav is in the parish of Shein Veregel. The Pasuk Yashiv is in the parish of Bar. We could have possibly suggested, as the Achronim point out, that maybe in this case, Shein Veregel, you have to pay Meitav, and in Bar, which is a little bit more Mekil, because the Nizah comes to the Mazik, you can pay with Subin. That could have been one possible answer to Abai's question. But in any event, Abai understood that the rule that governs Shein and Regel is the same identical rule, or should be the same rule, that governs Bar. Now, I'm not sure why the Gemara had to ask this kasha from the word Yashiv, which is Marbe Shav Kesef, maybe from the Pasuk itself. The Pasuk says that you pay with Kesef. And apparently, what you pay when you're required to pay meitav, then that means something that you can easily liquidate and sell on the market and turn it into liquid gold, liquid cash. And therefore, tashlume kesef per se would be the equivalent of meitav. But when the pasuk goes out of its way, yashiv, to include beyond kesef, something that shove kesef like Subin, go sell, you know, a ton of Subin on the market. I don't know who's going to buy it from you. Gemara says, Lo kasha. Why? Kan midaito. Kan bal karcho. We'll soon see the Gemara is going to try to prove from the language of the pasuk that we're talking about two different scenarios. One scenario is where the mazik offers to pay the nizak out of court, saving the nizak all the hassles of going to court, all the delay and the lawyer's fees and the court fees, etc. In such a case, the Torah was lenient and allowed the mazik, as sort of an incentive, a quid pro quo, to pay with subin, without requiring meitav. Kan, but our pasuk of meitav, in the parasha Shein V'Regel that requires the mazik to pay with the best of quality of karka, that's a case of al karcho, where the mazik is denying the obligation to pay. The nizak therefore has no choice but to take him to Bezdin with the whole hassle. And in such a case, the halacha, the Torah, is not being so lenient and laid back, but rather a little bit more demanding and harsh of the mazik. Let him pay with meitav. Now, when we say meitav, the tashlumen of meitav is because if, as we said, the mazik is not matriach, the nizak, the baldid, to come to Bezdin, we're going to be makel for him, and we're going to allow him to pay up subin. That's what we suggested, but if you look in the Shita Mekubetzes, he has a question over here. He says, it's possible that the mazik himself is not a baki. He's not clear whether he has to pay or he doesn't have to pay, right? There are nuances of differences in halacha. And therefore, he's not willing to pay until Bezdin judges the case and issues a court decision that he's obligated to pay. So in such a scenario, why should the mazik, you know, be forced to take a loss here, so to speak? Why are we more harsh on the mazik than we are in the case of me daito, requiring him to pay meitav? After all, he's only paying bal karcho because Bezdin paskin that way. You know, once Bezdin issues the psak, he's willing and eager to pay up his chov. So it does make sense that he should suffer such a harsh judgment. Omar Ula Breder of Eloi, Deka Nami. We'll soon see the Gemara is going to reject this diuk, but Ula says that the pasuk itself seems to indicate that we're talking about Tashlum Bal Karcho. Tchsiv, it says, Meitav Sadeh, Meitav Karmo, Yishalem. Yishalem means Bal Karcho, against his will. In other words, the verdict or the court decision that is issued by the Dayanim is Yishalem. Yishalem, he must pay. As if to say, he doesn't really want to pay, but he must pay. Now, if you take a look at the parish of Ganov, who pays Kefal, there too it says, Imimotze Ganov, we find the Ganov. He's running away, he's a fugitive, but we found him, we have evidence, is Yishalem Shnaim. Again, the word Yishalem indicates Bal Karcho. Omale Abaye, Abaye's not happy with Ula's Diuk. Mi Ksiv Yishulam, Yishalem Ksiv. Mi Daito Mashma. The word Yishulam means it must be paid up. And that means that Bezdin is going to force him to pay. There's going to be a causative Yeshulam. And Bezdin is going to cause him to pay. But Yishalem could also mean Midaito, that he eagerly agrees to pay. He knows he's at fault and he's chayv to pay. And we're up to El Amar Abaye. Let's just take a minute break. El Amar Abaye. The Abaye says to reconcile these two halachas of Yishalem Subin with Meitav, we can offer a different approach. And here, we're going to look into the laws of Matnas Aniyim, of Tztaka and the like. Maaser Sheni, Maaser Ani. Now, by way of introduction, what we need to know is what's the definition of an ani? Who qualifies as an ani to receive matnas aniyim, whether it's leket shikapeh, whether it's maaser ani, tztok, etc.? It's someone who has less than masayim zuz. In other words, the difference between an Osher and an Ani is Masayim Zuz. The Osher has Masayim Zuz. Let's assume that's support for a year. And the Ani doesn't have Masayim Zuz. If he has less than Masayim Zuz, then he's an Ani, qualifies, and we can give him as much as we can give him. We can give an Elef Zuz. That's not a problem. And the Brisa says the following. Hare shahayu lo batim sodus ukram and v'yeno motzi l'mochran. Here's the issue. You could have someone who's rich on paper. He owns a great deal of real estate. However, he cannot sell them. He cannot liquidate them. So the man, for all intents and purposes, has no liquid assets. He has no money to buy things, buy food, and support himself. So what do we do in that case? You know, it's a very complicated case because there's a certain dialectic here. On the one hand, he is an usher, but on the other hand, he's an ani. So the Braisa formulates the following halacha. Machilin oso maiser ani ad mechza. What we do is, we assume that he has value worth 100 zuz. That much he has. And even if it's hard for him to liquidate and get a good fair price for his sada, his bayis, his kerem, he can at least get mea zuz. That much we assume he can pull in. Let's say it's half of the value of the karka. And what we'll do is we're going to make up the difference between the mea zuz and the masayim zuz. So we're going to treat him like an ani, but only partially like an ani. We're going to give him a halfway status of an ani, and what we're going to allow is to give money in order to bring him up to Masayim Zuz, so he's no longer an ani, and not beyond. So he's not really an ani, because if he's an ani, we can give him 1,000 Zuz, but we only give him 100 Zuz, which is, again, a substantial amount of money, but that's to offset any loss that he might have to suffer if he were to sell his karka at low price. V'havi bo mar. Mar is a reference always to Rabba. And Rabba is going to ask a question analyzing this brisa. Hechi dami, what exactly is the case that the Braisa is referring to? When are we talking about a case where he cannot sell his karka at its value and bring in, rake in 200 zuz? Let's go through the possibilities. E huzal arata de kuliyama. If huzal means went down in value. Arata means the karka of everyone. There's a general deflation in the market, in the real estate market. V'didei nami zol ba'adayu, his karka, representing the fluctuation in the general market, goes down in a commensurate way to all the karkos that are out there on the market. His karka goes down at the same rate as everyone else. Is in such a case, there's no reason why we should only allow him a halfway measure of an ani. If everybody's karka went down, is afilu tuva nami lisfile, we should be allowed to give him more than just 100 zuz. Why do you cap it at that ceiling price? Because again, the Mishnah in Peah says that if someone is an ani, has less than Masayim zuz, you can give him even 1,000 zuz. The hazol de kuli alma nami, everyone's down, and it's, you can't blame the ani, you know, for this person for not being able to sell his karka at its true value. The value of the karka went down. The whole market took a dive. Don't put a finger of blame. Don't point a finger of accusation at this particular individual. Why is it that you can't get your price for the karka? No one can get the price for the karka. So there's no way that he can get 200 zuz for his karka. Therefore, he's an ani. And we should be allowed to give him the full amount, whatever we have in the community chest. Give him 1,000 zuz. Ella, but rather it's a case of okir arata de kule alma. that in truth the market went up in value, and you know, you have to pay through the nose to buy real estate. Vidi day, but his karka, and we'll see exactly why, went down in value. Aidi the aisle v'nofaka zuze, he's rushing, you know, putting up signs in on every street corner. Who's willing to buy my karka? People realize that he's desperate to sell his karka. They're going to squeeze him down for a low price. He's zol are. That's why his karka is going down. So the question that Rabbah is asking on this price is mimonavshach. Either he's not at fault, I mean, it's just a reflection of the general market conditions, so he's an ani. He cannot sell his karka no way, no how, at Masayim Zuz. Nobody can sell the karka at Masayim Zuz. If, on the other hand, he's running around desperately trying to sell his karka, and therefore that reflects a lower price for his karka than everyone else could get for karka, and it's the general market condition is good, then you know what? Why should we give him anything? And here we turn to Zayin Amid Beis. Afilu purta nami lo leisvule. The market value of his karka exceeds Masayim Zuz. He's not an un. He doesn't deserve to get any money at all to collect. As the Rashi points out, he's not free of all guilt over here. If the market value of karka is Masayim Zuz, and he can't get that, he's a poshea. And we, therefore, don't have to make him into an ani because he was poshea. The Omar Mar, now Rabbah continues Allah to interpret the Braisa, because again, at face value, the Braisa is very difficult. Lo tzricha, what's the case of the Braisa that allows the Meiser Ani for this guy up to Meazuz? Is Bidiyome Nisan. Okay, let's give a little background over here. The market fluctuates with regard to the sale of karka. Again, what we're talking about now is not karka to build skyscrapers or an apartment complex. We're talking about karka for the purpose of zriya, of planting, of agriculture. And the market fluctuates in a very profound way, in a very predictable way, on an annual basis, between what's called Tishrei and Nisan. Tishrei representing the winter months, during which you cannot do much with your karka, you can't plant in the winter, as opposed to Nisan, which is already spring, summer, that's the planting season. And at that point, the planting season, the karka goes up in value, or alternatively, you could say it reflects the real value. That's what you get in the market is really the value of the karka. So here's how Rabbah wants to explain the Braisa. We're talking about Biyome Nisan Yikara Arasa, right? The value that you can get by selling the karka in Nisan is a high value, because that's when people, as we said before, want to exploit the land by threshing and planting and then ultimately harvesting. Ubiyome Tishrei Zol Arasa, but during the winter months, the value that you can get on the market for selling your karka is much lower. It goes down. Who wants to hold on to karka and do nothing with it for 6 months? The Kuli Alma Natriad Nisan Mizabne. Your average person who's in the market for selling karka is not going to sell it during Tishrei. He's going to wait until Nisan. He's got that much intelligence to realize that he's going to get a higher price in Nisan. So what's the rush? But Vahai, the problem with this particular Joe who's applying for Meiser Ani, is Holv Itzrich Leila Zuze. As we said before, he's a little bit on the desperate side, needs most. Zabein Kidahashta. He's going to have to sell the karka at the cheaper price now during the winter months, during Tishrei. Now, since in Nisan, if it could only wait, the karka will be worth Masayim Zuz, which means that he's not an ani. Therefore, we define the financial status of an individual by the real value of the karka at the time when the karka is sold. Karka is not sold in Tishrei as a general rule. It's sold in Nisan, and then it's going to be worth a lot of money, certainly more than Masayim Zuz. And if we cannot treat him as an ani in the strict sense of the term. On the other hand, we have to feel some compassion for him. He's not an Oshir because he cannot translate that. You know, he cannot receive that Masayim Zuz. If he sells it now, if we demand or expect him to sell it in Tishrei, he'll take a tremendous loss. So he's in that flux, in that ambiguous twilight zone, the twilight zone. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to say, yes, he can collect Maaser Ani, but only up to Mechza, only up to Masayim Zuz. Why? Why only up to half? Ad Palga or Chela Mezel. You talk about the dip, the reduction in the value of the market value of the karka in Tishrei. It's only going to be up to, I mean, this is not only, but it's a lot, but it's up to 50% tfeilav urchei lemezel. The discrepancy by forcing the buyer to get end up with a karka that has to wait 6 months, that's enough to slash the price of the karka by half. Good. Now let's try to remember where we're holding here. We're not learning Masechta Peya, and we're not learning Maaser Ani and the laws of Tzedakah and who's an Ani and who's an Asher. So let's swing back to our sugya. If you recall, Abaye was trying to reconcile the halacha of collection by the Nizak of Tashlumei Mazik from the Mazik. Is it Meitav, as the Pasuk says, or is it Yishalem Subin? Says Abaye, based on Rabbah that we saw before in Maaser Ani, Hachanami Gabi Nezikin, we'll find a parallel logic or framework in Nezikin, and we'll be able to reconcile the Meitav with Yashiv. We're talking about a Maaser Hezek that took place in Tishrei. And let's assume that the damages are evaluated at a mana, which is 100 zuz. That's just choosing a number. Now, the Nizak comes to collect from the Karka the Mazik to the tune of mana, or 100 zuz. Now, Dine Be'idis, it's true, and here we have to activate the Pasuk Meitav Sadehu, that the Nizak has a right to collect Idis from the Mazik, Meitav Sadehu. However, what is the Pasuk Yashiv telling me? What's it teaching me? E Omar Le'iu, supposing the Nizak turns to the Mazik, he says, look, let's make a deal. I want to make a trade-off with you. Technically, according to my strict legal rights, I can demand Idis. But you know what? Havli Beninis Tfe Purta. I'm willing to make a deal. I'm willing to settle for Beninis if you give me a larger piece of karka. It's like if somebody owns apartments in Manhattan, it may be a tiny apartment, but it's worth a much larger apartment out in the boondocks. So in this case, the Nizak is willing to make the following exchange, the following deal. I will waive my rights to collect from you Idis. I'll go down a level to Beninis. What I'll ask in compensation is that you make up by expanding the shetach, the area of the karka, to a larger area that you would be paying me at that value if it were idis, if I would demand idis. Amalei, the mazik turns back to the nizak, and he says, wait, hold on a second. Ishaklis kidinach, if you would demand idis, which is dinach, that is the din, you have rights to demand idis, shkol, kedashta, then, you know what? What you're going to be able to do is, you're going to collect the karka at the lower price, because now it's Tishrei, and karka in Tishrei is worth much less than it's worth in Nisan, but ilo, if you waive your rights to collect Idis, Shakil kiyukra kiyukra dilakame. My bainin is that you will collect, Mr. Nizak, is going to be evaluated at a higher value, its value of Nisan, reflecting the Yemos Hachama. Because again, we're in a situation where there is a true value of the karka, which is Nisan. Just in the case of Idis, in order to make it easier for the Nizak, because if he's collecting Idis at this time of the year, meaning Tishrei, he won't be able to, you know, if he wants to cash it in, you know, and use the money to replace his damages, you know, to fix up whatever was broken, whatever was damaged. So he's at a loss because in the market now he's not going to get its value. So therefore, Idis should be evaluated at the higher value of reflecting the value of Nisan when the price of karka goes up, because you can't expect the Nizak to be stuck with a piece of karka that has to hold on to for 6 months. That's not fair. So given the real value of the karka when karka is usually sold on the market, and that is the price of Nisan. But now we have a Nizak who says, you know what? I'm willing to barter a deal with you. Give me a karka of Beninis. And apparently once he says he wants a karka of Beninis, he's not selling it. If he wants to sell it and convert it to liquid cash, he would have asked for Idis, because that's the easiest thing to be sold. It's difficult to sell Beninis on the market. Then he wants the Beninis in order to have that value and hold on to the karka. Well, if that be the case, if he's holding on to the karka in any event, so he's not suffering a loss by waiting the 6 months, then let's evaluate the karka at its value today. I don't know why a buyer needs Rabba for this, you know, from the Mishnah, from the Brice of Meiser Ani. Even without that Brice of Meiser Ani, a buyer could have said that the Pasuk Yashiv is referring to the case where the Nizak is collecting from the Mazik Shalokidino. You know, he's asking for a different quality, a different kind of karka. He's asking for Beninis. And he's got to accept this Beninis at the higher price. Because again, as we said before, the higher price is really reflects the true price, the actual price. Because that's when karkos are sold. It's just when the Nizak is collecting karka for the sake of cashing it in, meaning selling it on the market, we don't want him to suffer the fact that now he can't cash it in, he needs that extra 6 months. But in a case where he's asking Shalokid Dino, and apparently he's willing to hold on to the karka, let's go back to square one, to the true, genuine value of the karka, which is the value of Nisan, the higher value of karka. So it's not 100% clear what Abai was trying to get from Rabba, why he built himself so much on Rabba. Perhaps we could say that what Rabba did for us by explaining the Braisa is we would have thought that even if the collection is from Beninis or Ziburis, there's no way that payment on the part of the Mazik could reflect the higher value of Nisan, because it's now Tishrei, not Nisan. In other words, the Shar, the value, the market value of Nisan is not now relevant. But if you see Rava's interpretation of the Braisa, he says that even in Tishrei, we're going to value the Karka according to the value of Nisan. We can't anticipate now the true value that's going to come 6 months down the line. The fact that the Ani is not able to find a buyer at that price, that's really because the Ani is running around. That's the Pshia that we spoke about in the name of the Rajba. But Rabba, in his interpretation of the price of Maiserani, has already made this breakthrough that we can define the value of the karka in terms of the higher value. And that's what we're going to do in the case of Beninis. The Gemara is not happy with this beautiful pshat. Shucks. Maskifla Rav Acha bar Yaakov Imkein Horata Kochan shel nizakin etzel beninis viziburis. Your general trend here is to make it more difficult to demand tashlumi nizikin in the cases of beninis and ziburis. Meaning, if the nizak is coming to collect with beninis or ziburis, he's going to get less than he would have gotten if he would have demanded idis. And that's not logical. The Rachman Omar Mimeitav, the Rachman is trying to make it more harsh on the Mazgan, easier, or the Torah is standing in favor of the Nizak, and therefore the Torah demands that the Mazik pay with Idis. V'ad Amrit, Beninis v'Ziburis lo, leave out the word Nami, that if the Nizak is collecting his compensation from Ziburis, from Beninis Ziburis, that he cannot collect with the lower price, we're going to be very harsh with him and force him to pay the higher price. I mean, it's the exact opposite of the trend of the Torah. The kivun, the direction of the Torah, is to beef up the position of the Nizak, make it more difficult for the Mazik, let him cough up Idis. Now the Nizak backtracks a little, he says, you know what, I'll take Beninis. So therefore, all of a sudden, we're going to say to him, well, you know, if you're taking Beninis, it's going to be evaluated at the higher price of tomorrow, of Nisan. It doesn't make sense. And now, we're going to go back to Rabbah in the Brisa for a moment, and perhaps we're going to derive another din from Rabbah in the Brisa. Ela Omar Av Acha Bar Yaakov, I Iko L'dmuye, if there's room for analogy to the din that we saw Rabbah in his interpretation of the Brisa, L'balchov Midamin Le. The true analogy, the exact precise analogy, should be between the Maiser Ani case and the din of a Balchov who's coming to collect a Chov from the Lova, and it's Tishrei, is Balchov Dine Bibeninis. After all, we've discussed at great length earlier today that the Balchov collects from Beninis, the Amalei, and if the Malva turns to the Lova, then we're switching it around, and he says, you know what, instead of my collecting karka beninis, which you, the lova, required to cough up, havli ziburis, I'm willing to sell for ziburis tfei purta, amalei, then the lova could come back and counter against the malva and say, e shaklis kidinach shkol kirahashta vilo shkil kiyukra dilakame. If you're going to collect from Beninis, which you have rights to do, then you can collect it based on the lower price now, which means that you're going to get more karka. But if you don't want to, collect as you can, Mr. Malva, from Beninis, and you lower it down, lower your standards, demands to Ziburis, is shkil ki yukra dilakame. In such a case, you want to collect from ziburis. You know what? Let's evaluate the ziburis in the higher value as the karka will be worth in Nisan. It's a little bit difficult to reconcile this sugya with what we know, both from Gittin and the sugya later on, Daf Ches, that Mikra Din the Balchov collects from Ziburis, the Chachom wa Miyape, the Koach of the Balchov, to allow him to collect from Beninis, because that encourages a person to extend his hand and give Halvos, Lo Tinol Nels from the Lovin, and protect the Lovin so they'll be able to find Malvim. So if the Balchov now wants to collect from Ziburis, basically, he has a right to say, Yefshiv Takonas Chachomim. The Chachom made a Takon on my behalf, allowing me, upgrading me from Ziburis to Beninis. You know what? I'm Michael Zayin. I waive my rights to that Takon, to that Yipui Koach. Then the din of Ziburis goes back to the main original din, which means, what is it worth now? And this Kasha is raised by the Riva, one of the Bali HaTosfos, and he's quoted in the Shita Mekubetzes. His answer is a little bit complicated. He says, that which a person could say, I don't want takonis chachamim, that only works if he's coming lahachzik mamon, but not when he's coming lahotzi mamon. So that sheet of the Riva to justify the Gemara's logic here has to be taken under advisement. We have a principle in all of Shas and Ksuvas and elsewhere of Ha'omer Yafshiv Takonis Chachamim. He can say, I waive the Takonis Chachamim, which was made for my benefit. But no, that's only in a case where he's strengthening his position as a Mukhzak. But if he's a Motzi, like in this case, the Malva is coming to collect from the Karka the Nizak, he's being Motzi, he can't say Yafshiv Takonis Chachamim. This is the svar of Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Maskif lo Rav Acha bereid Rav Ika. I don't understand your logic. Im kain na alta delas bifnei lovin. You are really closing the doors in front of the lovin. Why? The amale, the malva is going to say ilu havali zuzi havishalki kidahashta. If I had the money which I lent you, I could certainly spend the money as it's worth today. Hashta de zuzi gabach. Now, because I was a good guy, I was a tzaddik and righteous, and I extended you a loan. Eshkol ki yukra de lekamei. I'm going to get a piece of karka from you that reflects the higher price of Nissan. I lost something by extending a loan to you. Had I held on to these most, I would certainly get its value of today. But now you're going to tell me, because I lent these mos to you, I'm going to have to take a higher value, not the value of today, meaning I would rather get more karka, of course, at the lower value than less karka at the higher value, because the higher value is not something that I can enjoy today. But the kesef that I had in my pocket, which I extended to you as a loan, that I could have enjoyed today. So in other words, the kasha of Rav Ach is you're being unduly harsh on the malva. And in doing so, you're really undermining the whole institution of loans, and you're jeopardizing the situation, the great, you know, serious need of the lovim and the borrowers, because the malvim don't want to take this loss. Ela amar Rav Acha bereid Rav Ika yikil d'muye. If we want to get something from an analogy here between the Baal Chov and Rabba in the Brisa, where Rabba in the Brisa says that we can consider the value of tomorrow, meaning of Nisan in Tishrei, and that's why the Ani is not a full-fledged Ani claiming, oh, I can't sell my karka today in Tishrei. No, you would be able to cash in your karka if you'd only hold on to it until Nisan. It's Luxubas Isha Medamina. It says Rav Acha, let's compare this structure of evaluating according to the future Nisan price to the case of Ksubas Isha. Right? If a man marries a woman, he pays her a ksuba, and now what happens if he has to pay her ksuba in the month of Tishrei? For example, if he divorces his wife in Tishrei, now in Tishrei he has to pay the ksuba. The ksubas isha dina biziburis. The halacha is, this is a sugya in Gittin Memtes, that ksuba is collectible from ziburis, when she collects from her husband, or her ex-husband, I should say. The e amro le'i. What happens if the Eishes Ishia, who's now Grusha, and is collecting a ksuba, she says the following, you know what? Don't pay me in ziburis. I don't have much to do with ziburis. Havli beinanis, batzir purta. You know what? Give me a smaller piece of beinanis. Omar la, he, the Baal, the Megarish, has a right to turn to his ex-wife and say, Ishakas kedina ekshkol kedahashta. You know what? I'm willing to tell you that if you're collecting ziburis, you have rights to collect the ziburis according to its current value now in Tishrei, not according to its higher value, meaning I'm going to have to give you more karka, but v'lo, you want to jack it up from ziburis to beinanis, shakli ki yukra de kameh. I'm not going to do you any favors. I'm going to charge you the real value of the karka, and I'm going to give you a smaller karka, but it's valued at a higher price. It's worth masayim zuz. Why? Because I don't have to have any compassion for you if you want to demand more than what's coming to you. Now the Gemara goes back to our original issue, mikol makom kasha. We still have a conflict, or a contradiction between meitav and mishalim, which means afilu subin. Amar Rava called the Yoiv le mi meitav leisev le. Rava suggests the following reconciliation. Meitav refers and teaches anything that's no sane. You know, your giving is give from the best. And therefore, that is not a contradiction to Yoshiv, which means you can give subin, because what the Torah is trying to tell you is that if you give subin, give the best of subin. Meaning, to the same extent that we can categorize karkos as different qualities from the lowest ziburis to the highest idis, we can do the same thing with regard to anything. So there is halach of meitav. Okay, true, you can pay with subin, but you know what? Get the best subin that you could possibly come up with. And of course, that will make it easier for the nizak to cash in whatever payment he's receiving from the mazik and liquidate fund and get liquid assets, because he's got the best of that particular species, of that type, which he can easily sell in the market. The Gemara says, no, that can't be true. V'ametav sadeu ksiv. If the way you say it, the halach of metav applies to everything, no matter what you're giving, if it's subin, give the best subin, is why did the Torah have the word sadeu? It's implying that the metav here is only in the sada, not in any other object like subin. Ella, but rather ki also Rav Papa Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua, when they came into the Mibei Rav from the Beis Medrash of Rav, is Parshua, they reconciled this contradiction in the following method. Kol Mile Meitav, all movable objects, all metalton is considered Meitav. Why? If it's not sellable here, you can sell it there. And transportation is not an issue. But in the case of karka, you can't transport it to another place. It's here forever. You know, it's not like you have an option in the back pocket, like you have a metaltel, and you'll find a buyer at the right price elsewhere. It's not so. Again, in a modern contemporary world, maybe it is so. You know, I can fly off to America and sell my kaki in Yerushalayim if I have to. But back in the day, if you want to find buyers, you know, you're limited to the buyer, as far as kaki is concerned, you're limited to the buyers here. So, you know, how's the nizak going to be able to cash in this karka unless you give him meitav? You know, in the case of meitav, everybody wants to buy meitav. You know, if meitav goes up on the market, they line up. We want to buy meitav. So with regard to meitav sodeu, when the Torah is describing and discussing karka, it means that there's a fundamental difference between idis and ziburis. And if the Torah wants to make it easy for the nizak to cash in and liquidate karka, create money for karka by selling his karka, then give him idis. But in the case of metaltalin, that's the mishalim, which refers to subin, and it's not a stira, because we don't have to be worried about the nizak in the case of subin, because if it's not sold here, he'll indeed be able to find a buyer somewhere else. by moving it from place to place. Now the sugya goes off on a different direction. How do we evaluate karka? The mazik has to pay idis, but at what particular value? A bal chov, for his part, is allowed to collect beinonis from the lover. Yeah, how do we go about evaluating a beinonis? So it's a general question about shamin es hakarkos. Boy mine Rav Shmuel bar Abba mi akronia mi Rabbi Abba. So Rav Shmuel asked Rabbi Abba the following question: Shehen shamin be shaloen shamin o bishal olam hein shamin. When you evaluate, Bezdin is evaluating the karka, and we're now looking at the karka of the mazik to figure out how much karka he has to fork over to the nizak to pay up X, is then the karka is evaluated bishalo. What does that mean, bishalo? Bishalo is a reference to the mazik. So that even if the karka of idis from a market value, from a universal perspective, is that much greater than the idis of the mazik, is nevertheless bishalo hein shamin. Let's look at the mazik and figure out in relative terms to where we look at his various karkos, which karka will the mazik have to cough up, have to fork over to the nizak. It's going to be his best karka. His meaning the mazik's best karka. Now, it could be that even if the karka was not as desirable and it wasn't as high quality as the mazik's best quality. In other words, from a perspective of market, which is called bishal olam, it could be that idis would not require such a high quality. You know, in the shuk, even a lesser quality karka would qualify as idis. And that's one side in the suffek of Rav Shmuel bar Abba. Oh, what's the second side? Bishal olam ein shamin, where we want to collect karka from the mazik, we should evaluate the karka based on shel olam. In other words, if by the standards of the market reflecting shel olam, it's idis, then you know what? Even if that idis is not so great in terms of what the mazik has, the mazik is a real wealthy, fancy guy, so this idis from the shel olam perspective, objectively in the market, would be considered like the ziburis of the mazik. Nevertheless, that's what the mazik pays, because he's paying idis. So again, is he paying idis because he's paying the best that he has? That's b'shalo ein shamin. Or is he paying idis by value of the market? That's called shel olam hein shamin. Says the Gemara, Aliba de Rabbi Yishmael lo tibay lecha. I have no doubt with regard to Rabbi Yishmael, the Omar who said, and we learned this yesterday, b'dinizak shayminan, that when we talk about Meitav, we're talking about the idis of the nizak, then it's a dover poshut that the mazik has to give the nizak's idis, and if we to the mazik ziburis is equal in quality to the idis of the nizak, says Rabbi Yishmael, that's exactly what the mazik will have to pay. It becomes crystal clear that from the perspective of Rabbi Shmuel ben Nizak Shaiminon, that we're talking about not some sort of objective b'shal olam, but rather b'shalo. B'shalo in this case means the Nizak. Kiti boiloch, where is the suffix of Rav Shmuel bar Abba? That's according to Rabbi Akiva, the Omar bin Mazik Shaiminon. And if you recall, that was the Pashti the Krah, according to Rabbi Akiva, of Meitav Sodeu Umeitav Carmel Yishalim, because the one who's being Mishalim, that's his Meitav. So the Meitav has to be paid, that's of the Mazik. Is my. What does the Pasuk really mean? Do we say Meitav Sadehu Omar Rachmana, which means the Meitav of the Mazik Sadeh, is Lim'ute Dinizak, O Dilma Lim'ute Di Alma Nami? Is the Pasuk just coming to exclude the Meitav of the Nizak? The Mazik doesn't have to pay Karka, which would be considered from the perspective of the Nizak Idis. That far we don't have to require the Mazik to do. And now we're going to introduce the concept of Rov HaOlam. In other words, according to the standards of Rov HaOlam, this is not called Idis. I'm talking about a scenario in which the best karka of the Nizak, which is the Idis of the Nizak, is considered, let's say, less than Idis in Rov HaOlam. The Mazik could pay karka, which would be considered Idis by objective standards, market standards of Rov HaOlam, even though the Mazik might have better quality karka. So in other words, that which is considered ziburis from the subjective perspective of what the Mazik has, he's a wealthy guy, but nevertheless from the Shel Olam perspective, it is considered idis. In such a case, that's the Pasuk wants to tell me, Bida Mazik Shaiminon, meaning we don't have to go to Rov HaOlam. So what will the Mazik pay in this first sad of the suffix of Rav Shmuel? And we're talking in the first sad that the Mazik doesn't have to pay his Yiddis, which is superior to the Yiddis the Alma of Rav Olam. On the other hand, the Mazik can't say, well, you know what, I'm going to give something less than Idis of Rov HaOlam, because from the perspective of the Nizak, this is great karka. You know, the Nizak's Idis is by far inferior to the Idis of Rov HaOlam. It would be considered ziburis by the standards of Rov HaOlam. So the Mazik wants to say, well, let me consider paying the Nizak ziburis, meaning his, the Nizak Ziburis. No. Bit of Mazik Shaiminon. What does it mean, Bit of Mazik Shaiminon? It means to tell you that we're going to look at the Rov HaOlam, and we're going to determine what is it is for the Rov HaOlam, and we're going to let the Mazik get away with that in a scenario in which he has a quality character that by far supersedes the Idis of Rov HaOlam. So on the one hand, we are being machmir on the Mazik, and we're rejecting the possibility that he would pay the ziburis of the Nizak, which is inferior to the standard objective idis. On the other hand, we are being makil on the Mazik, and instead of saying, you know what, Mr. Mazik, pay with your best idis, we're going to allow him to pay with the idis of the Alma, which is inferior to his idis. O Dilma, or should we say, no, let's take Meitav Sadehu literally. And it means it's got to be the Meitav of the Sodas of the Mazik. It has to be the best of the best that the Mazik has. Ulim Ute Di Alma Nami. Even to the exclusion of the Meitav of Rov HaOlam. In other words, he can't say, well, I'm going to give you my karka that's Ziburis, because on objective standards it would be called Idis. He's got to give the best of his best, the Idis of the Mazik. And Rabbi Abba now is going to respond to Rabbi Shmuel. I'm not sure if it's his son. Let's see. Rabbi Shmuel bar Abba and Rabbi Abba. Maybe it's his son. And he tells him, Rachmana, Omar, the Torah used the language, Meitav Sadehu, which means, according to Rabbi Kiva, Meitav Sadehu Shal Mazik. V'at Amrit B'shal Olam Ein Shomin. How can you tell me that we go back to the world objective market value and consider what's it is in the market value, the Torah says Meitav Sadehu his Sada, meaning the Sada of the Mazik. So the Gemara now is going to raise an objection to the conclusion of Rabbi Abba. Esve, the Brisa that we want to quote now, which is split into various parts. It addresses a person who's chayv tishalim to pay up nizikin. It addresses the case of a balchov who's collecting from the lovig, and the isha who's collecting a ksuba from the baal. But first, the Gemara brings a brisa, and the brisa in turn brings ofanim, you know, many different permutations of yesh lo karka achas. And here's number one. Ein lo ela idis. He only has one karka, which is idis. Again, that sounds like idis the alma, right? If he only has one karka. Is kulam govim min ha'idis. Right? We're addressing various categories, as we said before. There's the mazit, there's the nizak, there's the balchov, there's the ishos collecting aksuba. They're all going to collect from idis. Even the balchov and the isha, who normally don't collect from idis, like the isha collects from ziburis, the balchov collects from beninis, nevertheless, they all have a right to pounce upon the idis, because that's all that's all he has. Number two, if he has only beninis, is kulam govimi beninis. In other words, even the nizak, who normally has rights to collect from idis, he's going to have to collect from beninis. That's what we have. Even the isha, who cannot collect beninis as a general rule, here we're going to upgrade her and allow her to collect beninis, because that's all there is to be had. See, Boris, if all he has, this Baal, or the Mazik, or the Love, all he has is Ziburis, is Kulam Govmi Ziburis. Now, the Brisa is going to bring a case where a person has three karkos of different qualities, Hoyulo Idis, Ubeninis Viziburis, he's got the whole gamut, you know, all three categories of quality karka. Is then everyone goes back to the Ikra Din. Nizokin, Beidis Balchov, Bebeninis Ksubas Isha, Beziburis. Now, what happens if he has two karkos? So it goes like this. If he has Idis Ubeninis, then quite clearly, the Mazik will pay with Idis, and the Balchov will collect from Beninis, the Ksubas Isha, insofar as there is no Zibur, she'll collect from Beninis as well. So the Balchov, together with the Ksubas Isha, will both collect from Beninis. What if he has Beninis and Ziburis? So in the case of paying up the Nizak, or for that matter, paying up the malve, is bebeninis. Because again, the nizak could collect from idis, so chach given beninis. And the balchov, his din is to collect from beninis. Ksubas isha, she'll collect from ziburis. And here we turn to daf ches omid aleph. What if he has idis and ziburis? He has no beninis. Nizokin obviously collects from idis. Balchov doesn't have the right to go up to idis, even though he has rights to beninis. He's got to go down to ziburis. Ksubas isha b'ziburis, that's her din. And then the Brisa concludes by saying, I'm sorry, the Gemara concludes by saying, Ketani mia mitzia, we have this middle case. And what is the din in the middle case? He has beninis viziburis, is nizokin ubalchov bebeninis. As we said before, the balchov has a right to collect beninis, the nizokin, the nizak has a right to collect idis, but there is no idis. Uksubis isha viziburis. I amrit bishalohen shamin. If you're going to tell me that we evaluate the Iddis from the perspective of the Mazik, is then, why is it that the Nizak has rights to collect from Beinonis? Teyosa Beinonis Shalo Ke'idis. What the Gemara's analysis is based on is the following premise, that Balchov is inferior in his rights to the Nizak. The Nizak collect from Idis, the Balchov can only collect from Beinonis. Now, if the Lova or the Mazik has Beinonis, has what? What's the case? He's got Beinonis and Ziburis. Now we have a theory of relativity. We're gonna suggest that Bishloim and Shaman sets up Beinonis as Ziburis. I'm sorry, Beinonis as Idis, I meant to say, because Beinonis is now the best that he has. And the Balchov has to go one madrega lower. He should be collecting Beinonis. Now, Beinonis in this particular relativity theory case is going to be Ziburis. Because again, relative to what the Balchov, the Lova has in his possession, the Beinonis is Idis, the Ziburis is Beinonis. And that's the Gemara's question here. Is Ibi Shalo ain't Shamin, is Teosa Beinonis Shalo ki Idis, and the Docha Balchov etzel Ziburis. The Balchov should be able to collect nothing better than Ziburis. And this is not the only case that a Balchov collects from Ziburis. The Brisa says that if he has Idis and Ziburis, the Balchov collects Ziburis. And the Gemara understood from that the Balchov will only collect from Ziburis because in the relativity theory, Idis is uniquely singled out for the Lova, I'm sorry, for the Nizak, and therefore, by process of relativity, it's the Ziburis that the Balchov collects from. So why does the Brisa say that if he has both Beinonis and Ziburis, the Balchov has rights to collect from Beinonis? But if on the other hand you're going to say Shaman is HaKarkos B'Shel Olam, we evaluate it by the objective market standard, therefore the Balchov collects Beinonis, because for Rova Olam that is Beinonis, even though as far as the Lova himself is concerned, this Beinonis would be considered Idis. Or shall we say, as far as the Mazik is concerned, Beinonis would be jacked up to Idis. But no, when the Balchov has a right to collect from Beinonis, it means not Beinonis b'shalo, but Beinonis b'rov olam. So the Gemara answers, Chacham amai askino, and even if I assume b'shalo ain't shamin, the case, the scenario, the Brisa is kigon shahoisalo Idis. Machra, what does it mean? That in addition to the Beinonis and Ziburis, he really once owned Idis, this Lova. And since the Idis was in his possession at the time of the Alvar, there was a Shibu to the Balchov, such that if somebody buys this Karka, there's a specific earmarked singular Shibud allowing the Malve to collect from this Idis, and that allows the Malve to collect from this Idis from the Lekuchos, from those who bought it, and they can't shove him off and say, you know what, there's still Beinonis and Idis. So Machra, if he, the Lova, sold the Idis that were in his possession at the time of the Alvo when he took the money, what is he left with in his Rishus? He's got Beinonis and Ziburis. Since at the time of Alva he owned Karka, which would make his Beinonis. Sorry, let's just review the Gemara's answer. Again, the case is that the Lova had Idis at the time of Alva, and therefore the Shibud is Chal to the Balchov on the Beinonis. And even though the Lova sold his Idis, and what he's left with is Beinonis, but it doesn't matter. That Beinonis received a shibud for the Baal Chov, because at the time of Alvah, that karka was indeed Beinonis. You want to say, well, now, when the collection time comes around, and the Malva is collecting karka, well, this Beinonis is now the Idis of the Lover? No. What's Koveya, Beinonis and Idis, is the time of the Shibud. If the Baal Chov, the Malva, had a Shibud on this karka, Betoris Beinonis, because relative to the Idis which the Lover subsequently sold, this is Beinonis, then we're not going to be Mafkia, we're not going to remove that Shibud, even though the Lover sold the karka. The chein omer av chizda kegon shahaisalo idis umachara. So we'll stop here.